It's time for the Midnight Texas After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Resting Witch Face. That's right, we got Dark Fiji. We have the truth about patience and another death in midnight. Stick around!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Midnight Texas After Show. This is Season 2, Episode 7, Resting Witch Face. I am your host, Yael Teagle. I am joined by my lovely panel and a special guest. Let's start with our guest. We have Jamie Bernadette here.
Yay!
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy you're here. Jamie plays Peaches, one of our sexy vampires. We'll talk about that in a bit. Haley J is also here.
Happy Sunday, guys.
And Steph Sabra.
What's up, you guys?
Oh, my goodness. Let's jump into Restin' Witch Face.
Yes.
Restin'. I'm turning
gotta
to
love
Bobo.
The title of this one.
I'm Rusted. Turning to Bobo on this show with my Texas accent. I'm a California girl. I'm so sorry, everybody. What did we think about this episode, Steph?
I loved this episode. Fun fact, my Wi-Fi is Resting Witch Face, so when I saw the title, I knew it was going to be great.
What?
Yeah, don't. It's because I think I'm a witch, and I what's probably your, suffer from Resting Witch Face.
What's your Wi-Fi password?
Oh.
Is it I Love Bobo?
No, it's, like, narcissistic. But anyways, this is the episode I've been waiting for. I really, like you guys know, I loved last episode, but this had so many WTF moments, and wow, what the heck. I don't even know what's going to happen the next two episodes, so I'm really excited.
Haley?
Even speaking before, we're kind of like, where do we start? There's so much that went on with every character. There's a plot twist at almost every scene. There's something new happening, so I loved it. I think these episodes are just getting better and more exciting each time.
And our special guest, did you enjoy being in this episode?
I did. It was amazing. And I loved the episode. I loved seeing Fiji be a naughty witch. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic being naughty.
Absolutely.
She plays it well, too.
She does.
Definitely does.
She really... We'll get there. Everyone knows. I'm so excited. I want to start with Joe and Chewie and Walker. Let's just get real depressed right off the bat.
Get into our feelings right now.
Yeah, guys, let's just get in touch with it. So Joe's looking for Chewie. We find the dead bodies. I'm just going to skip real quick to the part we want to talk about. We find a bunch of dead bodies. Walker's following Joe. So Joe captures Walker. Chewie attacks. Joe tries to talk him down, but then Walker gets all into it. Chewie ends up, you know, getting stabbed.
It's like ultimately Joe kind of chooses Walker over Chewie to protect him, I guess, in the end from killing Walker.
Honestly, you guys, this scene pissed me off so much because... First of all, Walker has annoyed me immensely, basically. He was cool in the shower scene, and then ever since that, I was like, you can go. You're just really causing a lot of issues. And I just didn't think that it was enough of a setup scene where Chewie should have died. I think it could have... I mean, we have an angel there. I think something else could have happened, but Walker definitely is the cause of that. And then I just hate what happens with... he's really a fallen angel, like, through and through now. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have wings.
Right. I think when Walker decides he's not going to kill Chewie, he says, I can't kill the man you love because I love you. And then that's when Joe stabs Chewie. I was like, no! That is when you stab Walker!
Well, the live chat kind of agrees that Walker needs to go. Sebras is questioning, can Walker just die soon, please? Can we just get rid of him? What do you guys think? Is he going to stick around now? Because I don't see Joe wanting to be with him anymore. I don't see how his character is going to be relevant. What do you guys think?
That's so interesting because I feel like a lot of people were like, now Walker's going to be Joe's love interest. And I disagree. He says to him, I never want to see you again. And I took that as Walker's gone. He's
same.
He might come back and try to beg for Joe's forgiveness, but Joe can never. How could you ever forgive someone?
He cut off his wings. I think it's permanent. Yeah. I think Walker can't come back, and... I took it as him just, that was the end of him for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Of Walker. Sorry, of Walker, not Joe. Joe, I don't know what the heck is going to happen. That was my huge WTF moment.
A lot of the fans are questioning, why didn't Joe just kill Walker, not Chewie? You're saying he's already a fallen angel, that what would this death really affect him? But I don't know.
That's an excellent question.
I just
If I was in a relationship for years and years and years, thousands of years, I would probably choose my partner over someone I'd just met recently, but that's just me. So
that seems reasonable, right?
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you would also choose your love over your hookup.
Yeah, absolutely.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. to be continued.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I did enjoy seeing Joe right before he cut off his wings, where he was fully winged.
What's happening, though? Why would he do that? I really can't get it. There's certain things that happens in movies and shows where I just can't be like, that was justified. This is one of them.
I just took it as he felt so much guilt that he didn't feel he deserved the wings anymore.
Right. He was, like, punishing himself.
Right, shaming himself. But can they not grow back? Doesn't come back that way. It's not like hair.
They'll come back.
You think they'll come back?
I think so, yeah.
I hope so.
See what happens.
I love that idea. I was like, nah, that's the end of that.
Same.
But does he's still an angel. He just is a wingless angel.
Still looks like one. Mm-hmm. We'll go with that.
Yeah, that's true. I was wondering, will he still have his light powers and things? I think so, but I don't know if the wings were just for the flying purposes.
Well, so from what I understand, and I'm going to really clarify that I've not seen this movie, but I hear that every time a bell rings, an angel gets their wings. Therefore, you can be an angel. Right? That's the saying, right? From It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, I'm seeing that actually this week. Literally,
never seen it.
Same.
It's a Christmas movie. You love Christmas.
Yeah, but there's a lot I need to see still.
All right.
It's a great film.
I'm taking it to the chat.
I heard that.
That's a thing. Sure. But, like, so you can be an angel without wings was my point of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that positivity.
Thanks.
Thank you.
But also, I haven't seen that movie, so I don't really know.
We'll just go with it. It sounds right.
Great. Thanks. All right. Let's move on to the main event, because that was, you know, that thing happened. It was sad and we're all bummed and all. But, like, also everything else
but
happened.
But there's more to get to. A lot more.
Okay. So we're trying to figure out what happened to Creek. What we know is, at the beginning of the episode, Kai is trying to forcibly remove Manfred's powers, and Patience stops him. Knowing what we know at the end of the episode, why do you think she stopped him?
Because she needs Kai.
Yeah, but Kai was trying to take Manfred's powers, and she stopped him.
Maybe just to still have Manfred believe she's on his side until she was ready to make the ultimate switch.
And she needs Manfred to be the head of the body for the head, I think.
Right.
So she needed him to. She came to him after and gave him the pendant. It was a setup, I think. Well, obviously, her whole existence is a setup.
Okay.
Patience.
We also have the funeral. It was beautiful. We're going to move on from that. We have other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we got to keep it going.
Lem was great. Dark Fiji is grieving, she says. Doesn't want Bobo. I'm very confused as to why she didn't want Bobo. I get that, like, she wanted to go out and find some ladies, and I yes, girl. But Bobo.
Isn't it interesting? This whole thing started with her trying to figure out a way to be with him, and then the dark magic completely takes her over, where now she has no interest in saving the relationship whatsoever.
Also interesting that she confirmed that the butterfly wasn't there. The butterfly wasn't a part of the spell. The butterfly was in her heart the entire time until now, which is what I didn't realize if it was. Because I didn't, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, that means, like, she is the butterfly now or some. I don't know. I was trying to still think there was positivity, but I'm like, no, you really crushed your soul.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that she did that. And I think you're right that, she was trying to save him and now she doesn't even want him.
And she comes out saying that this was always the person I wanted to be all along. It's releasing that bad girl, but then you kind of want to get past that stage and still be a good person. But right now she's not seeming like she wants to get back to good Fiji whatsoever.
Well, she goes and she gets all dolled up.
Hair snatched back.
Oh,
braided.
Amazing.
Why do I kind of love this strip? I'm not going to be surprised if give it a couple months and suddenly that's like a new hair trend that everyone's going to just do one strip.
Super sexy.
I used to have the Rogue hair strips back
when
X2 came out. Yeah, I definitely had the...
It'll all come back around. I bet it will.
Yeah.
I like...
Thanks. So she goes out, she has Monster Night, and that's where we meet Peaches and Onyx. I want to talk about these two lovely ladies. Because she says, my freak flag wants to get nailed by a couple of amps. I wrote it down because I was like, I'm going to use that someday.
Yeah.
Was the description for your character just like hot girl playing vampire? Like, what was that title?
Pretty much, It was like hot lesbian vampire.
You're like, sign me up.
I'm in.
Have you ever had fake teeth for any type of character before?
I never had, and I always wanted to play a vampire.
Yeah,
so it really was
fun.
A dream role.
It looks really natural. You're hissing. You didn't seem to struggle with that too much.
Can you tell us about the teeth? Was it like a full piece, or was it like the two pieces that like glue on?
They fit me for the piece.
Oh.
Yeah, and So it was like partial top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it fit exactly. Yeah.
Did
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I was
did
just
not.
About to ask that.
I tried to keep it. And
say, that'd be
they
so
don't.
Perfect
they
for
keep,
Halloween.
I know. They keep it in a vault somewhere, all the pieces and everything.
But
so
it only
I definitely
fits you.
Try it. I know.
So they're
well,
Kai.
I guess we'll have to have me come back
right?
and wear it.
So. That's funny you said that because we were just talking about who's going to be Manfred's love interest. So. Maybe you could come back for that.
Yeah, it'd be
plot
great.
Twist, he wants the vampire now.
Right?
With a cross
former
scar.
Vampire.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So they get the cross burned into them. First of all, the blindfold moment, I was like, yes, let's do this. This sounds fun. But then she started to burn them, and I was like, well, I don't, you know, you got to discuss that ahead of time. Safe
consent,
words.
Consent.
That heated up in the wrong kind of way.
No. I need a safe word.
Yeah, I was really upset safe words weren't discussed. but once their powers were removed, they didn't have the healing abilities that a vampire would have. So are they now humans with a scar burned into their face?
It's interesting that you bring that up because there was a scene originally written in. I think it was just a timing thing why we didn't end up filming it, where they show both of us as humans. So, yeah, some people who've watched, they thought that we were killed, but we were not, just the powers were taken from us. And yeah, so that didn't end up happening. So I don't know. We'll
see.
The
live chat just had an interesting thought about this. They said that Fiji went for the two girls because that was an easy way for her to just get two monsters at once instead of doing the work to get a monster one at a time. She was just saw an opportunity to get two.
I think
two
it was
true.
Definitely manipulated because they
for sure.
Because with Kai he even said they had 40 or like
it's
they had
70 times seven
of all the different types of monsters, so they had to be specific. Mm-hmm. I think she knew that she was inviting these two vampires in particular,
right?
Right? Because all of the powers were very specific, I think.
That is true. And she could have easily taken up the guy at the bar's offer, but she didn't want his monster.
So I think the guy at the bar was a demon, right? His eyes glowed red, which means he was a demon. You can't take a demon's powers, is what we learned from Chewie.
Truth. The rules of this monster.
Gosh, hard to keep track.
It is.
I want to talk a little bit about the wardrobe that these ladies wore, because they like had rocker looks and then like skimpy clubbing clothing. How much time was it to get into that dress, first of all?
It was so much time, actually. There was like three people around me to get me into that dress, like pulling the boat on both sides and tying and pulling more. And it was very intense, actually, that outfit. And then to wear Mike on that outfit was... That's a whole other story.
Where was the mic?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, coming into a set that's now on season two, they're already well-adjusted and know each other. Did you feel a little bit on the outside getting to know the people on set?
Actually, I didn't. Fiji, Parisa, she was so welcoming and helpful, and she went out of her way. Like, if I even looked lost, wandering around, she would stop and go, what do you need? What can I help you? Oh, I'm looking for makeup. Let me walk you there. I mean, she was just so, so incredible. One of the most giving actresses I've ever worked with.
Oh, man. I had a feeling she was like this. I'm obsessed with her character. But even on Twitter, I follow her now. And she just seems like such a queen. Like, through and through. So that's just... I love women supporting
she
women.
She looks so sweet. Yeah, and you want her to be a nice person.
Oh, yeah. So nice.
She is just, like, good Fiji.
Yeah. She is
Glinda the Good Witch.
She is. Absolutely.
But you also were there with Bobo. And I can't not talk about... Mr. Dylan Bruce. How was that? How did he smell?
I don't know if I smelled him. But yeah, he was really nice too, really welcoming. Everyone, cast, crew, seriously, I was like, I would love to be on this show, you know, regularly, because it was just so welcoming. I felt so at home. It was so much fun. And the director, Nima, she let us improv and kind of have fun with it, which isn't common in television. Usually it's pretty word for word by the book. So
you said, speaking of improv, you said that Fiji actually improvised the one line in the
improvised is the word you're looking for.
Right. When you what was the line where she was like, "You're damn right," or something like
that?
Then...
Yeah. Actually, Raleigh, who played Onyx, she said, "You witch," and then Fiji came in with, "You're damn right." And that was all improv. So it was brilliant.
See, I do love that because it's such a more natural feel when you're so in character that you just say what you think your character would say.
Yeah.
And it comes across when they feel like they're showing the scene.
Back to Dylan Bruce.
Okay.
No, so there's the part where Fiji lifts him up.
Yeah.
How much time were you standing there while they had to like rig him up and do things?
We might have shot that for maybe an hour and a half. They were fast, efficient. Yeah, the crew was very good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was such a sad scene for me because he loves her so much and the old Fiji loved him so much. And to see just one turn of event for love create this was like the peak of it.
But I feel like one of the great things about Bobo, right, is that he doesn't give up. I feel like as much as he's trying to save her, he's not, like, concerned that she's unsavable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, no, we're going to figure this out. I'm here. I'm going to save you. And she's like, get out of my way. And he's like, that's fine. I'm going to do this other thing, and I'm going to save you.
And honestly, I would be terrified if I were a human with no powers going up against dark magic, where at this point she clearly, I think she would kill him if she wanted to at this point. So I'd be a little terrified trying to stop her. Not being able to protect myself at all.
Before we continue with her dark magic, I want to talk about the scene with Kai where he removes the powers. So Peaches and Onyx are blindfolded, but you both could see, I assume, through the blindfolds.
I mean, I didn't play it like I could see.
But you could because, you know, when he does the hand motion, you both, it was like perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
How much time did you, you know, practice that, or was it just the first time you guys did it perfectly?
No, that took a little bit because we had to coordinate our action, what we were doing. So the director was just saying, do this now, and because we couldn't see each other.
Right.
So it took a little bit. You know, that whole scene there may have taken a couple, 2-3 hours, maybe, like the whole bedroom scene.
Well, that's a hard scene because not only are you filming kind of a sex scene, which is all like infamously hard to do, like as actors, because you're obviously not partaking in that, but also a screaming torture scene at the same time. It was intense. It was really intense.
And then getting your powers sucked out of you. How weird is it to sit there with your mouth open while his, like, that just, like, I was watching it trying to imagine. I went, that's got to be so weird.
Do you have acting classes that prep you for these types of things?
Like, not what at all. Are you
hopefully everyone had he has breath mints when he's, like, that close, like, sucking your life.
But so you really couldn't see through the blindfolds at all?
No, we couldn't. Oh, no, okay. That's why they had to direct and we had to get the timing right. And, yeah, we screwed up many times and because we would collapse at different times or, his breathing, he was working with us when I sound like this. Now I'm sucking it out. Now we had to listen and, do everything at the same time.
And it's pretty like, quick, huh?
Well, at that point, the sex
wasn't happening. No background music either. We were saying earlier, when you watch it, the scene comes together with the soundtrack and everything. But when you're on set, I imagine you're not actually hearing the music. It's all just like very scripted out movements that are supposed to be like sexual and natural. Yeah. And you're just like, turn turn right and kiss her here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's all done in post after the fact. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So fun. So our Midnighters find Fiji's dark cabinet and they decide to set it on fire. I love that. I think
so creepy.
It's so creepy. She had all their hair
and Lem's blood. Mm-hmm. Like, this was very planned in the 2 weeks she's been bad Fiji.
Yeah, it feels
she
like
did
it
a lot.
Yeah.
She did work.
She accomplished a lot in that time, and I think that's wonderful.
That did surprise me. I knew she was turning into bad Fiji, but I didn't anticipate she was going to be the one behind this whole thing.
It's interesting because her transition was quick, right? Like, once the butterfly was gone, we lost her.
And I think that it must have been orchestrated from the beginning. I feel like Patience had that woman come to Fiji.
Celeste,
and said that she, like, they somehow found out she was searching the web to find good witches to help her. And I think Celeste has to be, my opinion, working with Patience as well. Or at least in the same witch coven.
Interesting.
Because
like
it's too
thoughts.
Quick for her to come up into this and be, like, totally invested in taking over Midnight in the world.
All right. What do we have in the chat?
It would just cracked me up. Your comment earlier about could Fiji not just put out the fire? They're questioning the same thing. Like, yeah, she's so powerful, she can't stop the fire.
She doesn't put it out. I was like, girl, you came out, all your stuff's on fire. If you can lift a man and throw him, and then she can blow the magic sand that stops dark magic, and she did something else. And I was like, what, girl, you can, I'm pretty sure. You can just
isn't that the best part with the shows that involve magic? There's certain things that you would think it would be so easy to just use your powers to stop. It's like, of course, you gotta have some type of plan.
She was just so mad. She was overcome with anger that she didn't think about
it. Unless the second it caught fire, it was too mind. Late, maybe.
I disagree. She could have salvaged something.
Yeah, it looked like I could see the stuff in there, you know, for sure. It was
you
still alive.
You could have saved it if you tried.
But we did talk about how much we loved that Bobo texted her that photo. Right.
Oh, yeah. Bobo was being perfectly petty.
Mm-hmm. You up? Come outside.
And he was just standing at the window like, hey.
I did this.
Black salt.
Yeah. So good. So Fiji gets captured. We find out that she didn't kill, but she did cover up Creek's death. And that since she turned dark, Theophilus, I'm just going to go with Theo, has been calling to her. Super creepy. Which takes us to Patience. All right, hear me out. I have this theory about the whole pure intentions thing. Because what I'm noticing is the way that Patience responds is not necessarily in lies. I mean, yes, she does explain things and tell. We did find out that she told Manfred one story about the head, and she told Kai another story about the head. So hear me out. Maybe I'm wrong. But when she says to Manfred that she never believed that Kai would forcibly remove powers, I think she believes that. So she also didn't know that he could give the powers back. I think that she also believed that. And then when Kai's like, you're screwing Manfred, she says, I told you that voicemail wasn't me. She doesn't acknowledge the affair.
She's a gaslighter.
But she's like, yes. But I feel like she's very maybe particular with her words. And so she kind of made it so that her intentions are pure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Totally. I feel like they did a really good job clarifying a lot of Patience's position and Kai's position, like why they came to Midnight, Texas, mm-hmm. which is what we were wondering. And it all made sense, which is anytime in a sci-fi type of show, you hope that the loose ends are tied and everything makes sense. And it did make sense, which I really appreciate. And it was even better than I thought with this twin and this whole history of them being very powerful and people wanting to stop them. So I get where she's coming from, but Kai is an idiot.
I did feel a lot more sympathy for Kai really quickly. It almost surprised me as soon as him and Manfred kind of cleared the air, found out that they were being told different stories, and Patience was obviously lying to both of them. I found myself being on Team Kai really quickly. Yeah. It, like, felt bad for him all of a sudden.
I also really loved that the idea that Theophilus was introduced to us as the father of dark magic, and that it's relevant to what's happening.
Yes.
Right.
I love that they tied it
together.
The
writers did well on this, pulling it all together. But it is. There's a lot of loose ends.
And it's so confusing, right? Like, this has been so confusing.
This is one of those shows where if you are distracted, you look away for a couple minutes, you will be confused. You need to you need to watch it, and because you'll miss the details.
I watched this episode 3 times now. Let me read you some of my notes. All right, so here's what's written on the head. An army of 70x7 beasts to free thee. 490, everyone. I don't know why we're going with 70x7. 490. That's what 70 times 7 is. Yeah. It's 490.
I get that, but I'm curious of the verbiage, but...
I assume it's 70 times 7 types of monsters.
Yeah.
That's the only way that that would make sense.
Yeah.
I think the writers just have a lot of fun with naming every character and spell in the show in general.
What? So it's the curse of the 70x7. 490, everybody. I used a calculator. All right. So we get the eyeball of Kiva Goldwater. She comes out as a ghost and tells us everything that we need to know. That Theophilus, the father of dark magic, is a twin, and that he and his twin, who we assume is male, have this connection, and the connection makes them strong, and if they reunite, darkness will fall. But we don't know who the twin is. Turns out, we all think it's Kai, but it's Patience.
That got me. I was not expecting that.
I thought she might have been in on it all the entire time, but the extent of her plotting and planning, I should have known it was a woman because...
Because it was so clever?
It was so clever. She fooled everyone. She used not only her brains, but her body by what usually is used against women. She used it against everyone and is kicking everyone's butt.
I like that, though. That is a good point. Yeah. How she took what might be seen as a weakness and made it her power. Mm-hmm. And what was the theory with the perfect lipstick? That's how you know?
Yes. Okay. I have been saying all season that her lipstick looks impeccable. And that's how we should have known. Only a witch.
Only a witch.
It was so... Or, I mean, an actress
with especially
makeup
with
too.
Red lipstick. You just can't get that on straight. There's always jaggedies, but hers is Patience. Oh, perfect.
I mean, but also, like, it never bleeds. It doesn't fade. It doesn't smudge. It's never on her teeth. Like, it's perfect.
Like, when it's too perfect, something's up. Something's
wrong.
Oh, man. She should teach me her ways. My lipstick looks so good.
I can't believe she killed Creek, though.
I can.
But
why? Why not? Why wouldn't she? That's the thing, is that we never, again, with her specific words, she feared Kai. She was scared of him, and she wanted to protect Manfred. And I feel like the way that she said it, there's something there. I feel like there's something about the way that she says things.
Mm. Do you think any part of her ever loved Kai or cared for Manfred, or do you think it was all very strategic to get what she wanted?
Ooh. I think no Manfred on Manfred.
She says it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I believe her.
I believe that. I believe Manfred was just side piece.
But I wonder how...
Side piece for sure.
I wonder, so when Manfred points out to Kai that she said that he draws his power from the head, and he says, I don't know why she would tell you that. Then why does he have this ability? That's my question. Did she give him a spell that he can suck the magic out of, or the powers out of people?
That's a good point. Why not her?
Right. Why does she need him to do it? But we also know that she put the amulet on Manfred to use his body.
I'm really curious to see where Kai progresses in the storyline, if he's going to go against Patience. Because he seems like, now that we know, a genuine, like, he wants to be a healer. He actually wants to help people, and we've completely we're misguided on what he represents. So I feel like he has to team up with Manfred now, But it's hard because he probably really loves Patience.
It just occurred to me that she has slept with Manfred, whose body she needs to use for her brother.
Dude. Interesting.
Literally just occurred to me.
I guess no line is too far for her.
Okay.
It happens. There's a few. I cover the Gifted at AfterBuzz, and there's really powerful twins.
There's nothing dirty between those two.
The Von Struckers. No, they're past. They're grandparents, okay. And they were together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cherry is actually in our live chat, and she thinks that the relationship between Manfred and Patience was casual for Manfred too. I feel like he maybe liked her as more than just a hookup.
Nah, he still loved Creek.
You don't think he's hurt at all that Patience did that?
I mean, I think he's hurt because she betrayed him, but not because of love.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm just such a sucker that I'm like, no, they...
No, she was just the ultimate rebound. Mm-hmm. Patience was like everything you would hope in a rebound because, you know, she can't... Right. Well, other than married, but I'm just saying, like... Because she was married, if she wasn't in love with him, like, she can't really expect a relationship. Like, in the most selfish, messed up way, she's a great rebound. And he is, too.
Okay. I'll allow it.
I like it a lot, actually. Using each other, at least.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, before we get into predictions, we have Jamie here, and I want to talk to you about you and what you're up to, because you have a film coming out, The Sixth Friend, coming out January 15th in Cinemark Theaters. You produced, co-wrote, and starred in this project. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a story about six friends who get into a lot of trouble on the night of their college graduation, and a man ends up dead. And then 5 years later, they get together again, and it seems like he comes back, kind of like a I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah, but it keeps you guessing. You're not sure if he's a ghost, a real person, who he is, or if they're hallucinating, what's going on. So it keeps audiences guessing, for sure.
I love that. I'm not even really typically a scary movie type person, but that sounds like a really cool plot. Are you always drawn to more deeper, darker type storylines, kind of Midnight Texas style things? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have delved into my dark side probably since I was a child. Wow. I was always obsessed with horror and stuff like that. So, yeah, yeah.
How long have you been working on this project?
For about a few years. I mean, we had some offers on it, but it didn't feel right to me, so I just... Finally, we sold it and agreed on a company that's going to do awesome with it. I know it.
So exciting. Yeah. What a way to start your new year in January with releasing this project. That's so exciting.
Thank you so much.
Is it a horror movie? Our producer, Anthony, does horror movie films, a show here. He loves it. So I'm sure he'll want to see that too. Right, Anthony?
What's your role in it?
I play Joey. She's kind of the quiet, withdrawn type. Mm-hmm.
The opposite of Peaches.
yeah, definitely the opposite of Peaches, for sure.
Peaches. So the names on this show.
I love it.
So right? Silly. So what was the hardest part, producing, co-writing, or acting in it?
Producing, hands down. Producing is the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. The analogy that I like to use is it's like putting together 20 weddings, not one wedding, 20, where you have to organize everything. And it's a lot, but it's very rewarding because, you know, you get to be part of the entire process. Because a lot of times when you just act in a film, you know, you act and that's it. You don't get a say on the music and the editing and things like that. So it was great to produce and have a say in all of that. And see the final product and be proud of every element.
Right. Do you ever feel the need to separate and come back to it? Do you ever focus on something so intently that you almost start to lose your own perception of what you really think of it? Do you know what I mean? Where sometimes you're like, do I like this? Do I hate this? Let me just come back to it type thing.
I do, yes. We had a lot of people look at the film and give feedback. I think that's very important. Like, we did not lock that edit until we got a lot of feedback from people, because sometimes you've seen it so many times, you miss things, you know, or something doesn't make sense. So you have to listen to other people. And I think that's a very important part of being a producer, is being open to people's opinions and things like that, you know, because you want a final product that people can understand and,
right,
you know.
But maybe at the same time, still sticking to your own beliefs, because sometimes mm-hmm. I feel like too many voices get distracting.
Yeah, that can be. Yeah. But yeah, some things we had where it was like, oh, that doesn't really make sense, or okay, we need to clarify that, or right. that to us, it makes, especially as me as being the writer also,
because you know
everything
every
makes sense
line,
to
right.
me, but yeah, but
someone from the outside might not see it the same way.
Exactly. Yeah, so it was great to have that feedback.
That's so exciting. So do you find yourself more interested in producing or acting, or is it kind of you like it both equally?
I'm more interested in acting. I mean, producing, I produce two features actually now, and it's very time consuming, and I act a lot. I keep pretty busy, so for me to produce, I know that would take a lot of my time. I may in the future again, we'll see, but I know it's a huge, huge time commitment.
Well, it's such an accomplishment, too. We're excited about it.
Oh, thank you.
We can't wait. The Sixth Friend is coming out January 15th at Cinemark Theaters. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Let's head into predictions. There's a sound cue. There it is. I didn't want you to think I was just a weirdo who pauses. So we have two more episodes left in the season. Our after show will be back in January to cover those two episodes, because we're going to close for December.
That's going to be such an episode with all the things that happen in one episode to get every detail into two separate episodes into one after show, but
it's going
to
be crazy. We'll
it'll be good and juicy, because everyone will have the holidays and New Year's to focus on their family and think about your thoughts on the last two episodes, and then we'll talk to you about it in January.
So in the next episode, what we see is, as friends become enemies, this town is about to explode, and it looks like Patience and Fiji and their witches are going against our Midnighters. Manfred says, we'll make our last stand. And here, that's what's in the trailer. Any thoughts on what's happening? I'm gonna start with Steph.
I have been very wrong all season. I think that it's gonna get really juicy, and at the end we'll have to perform some sort of exorcism on Fiji to get her back. But in terms of the witches, I think it's going to be a big fight, which I'm excited for, because there hasn't been like a battleground scene this season yet.
Okay.
I think the focus is just going to be trying to stop Patience. How do we get Fiji back to being the good witch?
Interesting.
Which might not be easy.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, any predictions?
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I think Fiji is definitely liked as the good witch, mm-hmm. you know, by mm-hmm. general audiences.
Right.
And I think writers and producers pay attention to that. So
okay.
I think that, yeah, next episode, she will still be the bad witch. And then by the end of the season, I think somehow they're going to make her come back.
That's so interesting you all think that, because I disagree.
You don't think so?
So I think that the next two episodes is going to be focused on stopping Patience and keeping Theophilus, stupid name, from coming back. I assume they're going to fail. He's going to come back. They're going to have to battle him and get rid of him. I think they're going to deal with Dark Fiji at the beginning of season three. I think she's staying dark through the hiatus.
Wow.
Yeah, fighting words.
I'm not going to lie, though. She is, like, she's such a good actress that it is so still good. Enjoyable to watch her bad. And, like, I hate that I like her bad,
oh,
too.
No, I agree. Bad can be fun.
Yeah, I think she likes it, too. Yeah, I've been seeing what she's posting and stuff.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
she really liked that episode. I think she said it was her favorite, this
oh,
one.
Yeah, she was
so,
definitely the center of this episode,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and she is so good bad.
Yeah. I mean, girl-on-girl action, what's not to love? This has been so fun. Jamie, where can everyone keep up with you on the social medias?
I'm very active on Instagram. It's spelled just like my name, at Jamie Bernadette. I'm also on Facebook, Jamie Bernadette, and you can find me on Twitter as well.
All right. And, of course, The Sixth Friend, January 15th in Cinemark Theaters. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Haley, where can people keep up with you?
Twitter and Instagram, HeyJ_HayJ_.
Steph.
Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
I'm everywhere at Yell Teagle. That's YaelTYGIEL. There's been a beep. Also, fun fact, on Christmas itself, I have nothing to do. So please tweet at me. I'm going to be so lonely.
Just your average Jewish beauty.
Thank you all so much for joining us. We'll see you in 2019.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.